This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann. As always, we have two stories for you today. First up, it is International Day of Education, and so we are looking at how empathy can be made a part of our education system. So we'll be speaking to an organization that has been trying to do just that here in Malaysia.
And for our second story, we want to shine a spotlight on a critical but often overlooked aspect of education, and we're talking about sex and sexuality education. So we're going to explore why sex education is an integral part of a child's development. And so if you have any thoughts you want to share with us for either of our stories, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And now on to our first story. As we said earlier, today is the International Day of Education, a designated day by the United Nations to honour education and its centrality to human well-being as well as to sustainable development.
And so this year's theme, and as always we have a theme, it is Learning for People, Planet, Prosperity and Peace. And it highlights how education is so integrated into every aspect of our existence. So from its humanistic aims to how central it is to our collective development ambitions. So if you look at this different aspects of the theme, so which is people, planet, prosperity and peace.
There's pretty much everything.
Yes. there's no doubt that education is a rather key aspect in being able to achieve development in these four different aspects.
But while the traditional idea of education, you know, your reading, your writing, your mathematics, basically, you know, academic skills are certainly essential, there's one aspect that really is just starting to be seen as equally important, and that is empathy. So the textbook definition of empathy is the ability to understand what someone else is feeling. But when put into practice, empathy can actually be so much more. It can include being able to grasp the many sides of complex problems, the capacity to collaborate with others to solve those problems. It can mean being good at listening to ideas of others as well as articulating your own ideas. It can mean being able to lead a team, to be participating in a team as a, you know, being both able to do those things, right? Empathy basically also enables ethical action, decision making, and problem solving. So really, a lot contained into that one small word.
And when we look at the focus of Education Day's theme, right, people, planets, prosperity and peace, it seems a bit of a no-brainer that empathy would be essential to all of these. And yet, we are only at the early stages of figuring out how empathy can be incorporated into our education system. But some countries have, around the world, have seen the value of this. So, for example, in Danish schools, about an hour a week is dedicated to an empathy lesson. And this is for students aged 6 to 16. 16 years old. And so students, what happens in these lessons is students discuss their problems. Either it can be related to school, it can be related to other issues, and the whole class together with the teacher will try to find a solution based on real listening and understanding. And so another example, a preschool in Qatar is teaching children to connect with nature and the world around them and have plenty of time to play outside and to build meaningful relationships with their classmates, and all of this with the aim of teaching empathy.
So one organization that has been working with local government schools here to do this is Design for Change Malaysia. So they are the local chapter of Design for Change, which is an international organization that works with schools around the world to cultivate qualities like empathy, imagination in students by working with the school systems itself, the government school systems.
Okay.
So I spoke earlier today to Design for Change Malaysia's impact manager, Era Natasha, and I started off by asking her, why is it so important that we teach our children empathy?
Well, I think that empathy, first of all, is the key to the reason why we live. I mean, one of the main reasons for happiness, you know, as research has proven, is good relationships, good interpersonal relationships. And I think at the core of what makes a good relationship is the ability to know what the other is feeling and why are they feeling that, despite whatever other negative emotions you may be feeling towards that person. You know, very simply, as a mother to a child, you might feel very annoyed at your kid, but empathy helps you feel, you know, why is it that this child is acting this way? So I believe empathy is the key to good personal relationships, which ties back to what makes a happy person. So that is why empathy is important. to be incorporated into education system.
Mm. And I know that Design for Change Malaysia and Design for Change is built around the idea of design thinking. Now, how is that used to incorporate empathy into the school curriculum?
Design thinking is very much about coming up with a product or service, coming up with a solution that has the user in mind, instead of coming up with a product because you feel like it, because you love this product. So it's very much thinking about what other people need, what the others are looking for. So that starts with empathy. That starts with questioning, what is it that, how can I make other people's lives easier? What issues are other people facing that I can possibly solve? So how we incorporate empathy into design thinking is by first asking the students, students as young as 7 years old, to think, what are issues when you wake up in the morning? Imagine your day. What are issues that you face as you walk to school? What are issues that your school friends face as they walk to school? And why do they face this? So we encourage them to question, because usually with students, they see something, they think that's all there is. If I can give you an example of students, a group of students who approached us saying that, hey, here's an issue we would like to solve at school. It's of our schoolmates who are not coming to class and their grades are really bad. And this affects our school performance. So, you know, we would like to find ways how we can improve their school attendance. So we're saying, like, why do you think they're not coming to school? So they say, oh, you know, because they're just bad students. You know, they're just lazy. Then we question them, are they really lazy? Do you know what it's like for them to be at home? Like, are their parents single parents? Are they working hard at night? Are they sleeping as well as you are? So then this makes them question, oh, actually, you know, the issue might not be as simple as I thought it was. So that's how we teach empathy through our design thinking process.
Mm. And how is this program specifically, how do you guys work with the ministry and with government schools? Do you come in as an external body or do you work with teachers? What is the working method?
Well, the Ministry of Education has been great support in terms of giving us the access to teachers, public school teachers, and also the students, of course. Because, I mean, there's 1,001 programs out there, so I guess for the teachers and students, they're skeptical of what works, what doesn't, what has been proven and what hasn't.
Mm.
So based on our interaction with the ministry, they know that, you know, this is not something that we just came up with. This has been proven over and over again in many other countries. It's been around for 10 years now. So based on their trust, they give us the access to all the schools, the teachers and the students, for us to run our workshops to the schools.
And can you explain a little bit how these workshops go? Are they, you know, what is the duration? And then what kind of activities do you do during the workshops?
Oh, okay, so it's a very hands-on workshop. It runs over the course of 2 days. The first day we run it strictly with teachers only. So we have about 20 to 25 teachers per workshop so that, you know, our facilitators will have that time to interact with the teachers. So the first day we run it with the teachers. We go through the 4 steps that Design for Change BFC teaches, which is number one, feel, imagine, do, and share. So what we do with the teachers is exactly the activities that we would run with the students the second day. So we tell them, like, what are issues that you teachers face, you know, on a daily basis? So imagine all the crazy ways you think, brainstorm all the ways that you think you can solve this issue. But of course, then we ask them to always check, and question with the end user, whether or not this is something that the end user would want, because that's usually the mistake with problem solving that we see, is that they assume, hey, you know what, we think this is the best solution. We've thought about it. You know, we believe this is the best solution. So we tell them, we just prompt them to question the end user. Is this really, does this work for you? You know, is this really a solution you wanted? So we go through activities which work for teachers as well as students. So on the second day, the teachers would then guide the students through all these activities so that the students reach that solution at the end of the day.
Mm. And what is the end result or the end product? Are they supposed to work on a project? Are they supposed to present something?
Yes, that is the most exciting thing, that students leave this workshop not just with a certificate or, you know, a photo, but we tell them, like, hey, now that you know how to solve a problem, now that you know how to, you know, the best way to come up with a solution based on this framework that we have provided to you, you can solve issues which your community, which your school faces. So these students have come up with social impact projects which improves the lives of their, whether, you know, it's their communities, their parents, their schools, or even some, you know, have gone on to the state level where they've really, like, scaled their projects. So some students have come up with, say, some of the projects of mine is, like, inclusive project where they encourage other students to think about students who are treated badly or negatively just because of their lower grades, or students who face racism. So there are also other students who come up with anti-bullying campaign or body shaming campaign. So these are the projects which the students develop based on their newfound design thinking skill.
Mm. And how long has Design for Malaysia, Design for Change Malaysia specifically, been working with our schools here? And how many schools, how many students would you roughly say you've worked with thus far?
Well, in 2016 was when we started our pilot project with the teachers to see. Again, we applied design thinking into the process right from the start, you know, to instead of just thinking, hey, you know, we think design thinking is something that all students need in Malaysia. So what we did was introduce it to the teachers and the students through our pilot project in 2016, find out if this is something that they want, if this is something that they need in their daily lives, would this be beneficial to them? So based on their feedback, we tweaked it a little bit more, scaled it even further in 2017. And in 2018 was when we joined the Design for Change ICANN School Challenge, which is the global competition, along with other Design for Change students around the world. In 2018, that's when we started sending Design for Change Malaysian students to join the global celebration to share about their social impact projects. Last year alone, we've had like almost 100 social impact projects. Last year was when we really scaled it big. But I would say from 2016, 2017, we probably have perhaps between 150 to 200 social impact projects so far.
Mm. And what about the funding for something like this, both on the ground level and as well mm-hmm. as for Design for Change Malaysia itself? What is the funding model?
Correct. So what we do is we approach corporates who support the goal to produce students who are not just, you know, academically inclined, but also who can be global citizens in line with MOE's goal as well, you know, to produce Malaysian students who are global citizens, who are socially conscious. So there are funders who have specific themes, for example, or specific interests. For example, some funders want to focus on nutrition. So what we do is we work with them to encourage students to come up with social impact projects which solve nutrition issues. So we have corporate funders with various interests who come in and meet with us and tell them their interests. And then we work with them to produce Design for Change workshops, run it in perhaps, you know, their school of choice in the state that they're particularly interested in. So that's how we work with funders generally.
You guys aren't just involved at the workshop training stage. You are actually also involved while they're working on the social impact projects, is it?
They mainly run it on their own. But what we do is we give them complementary skills, for example, like public speaking skills. Then we also help them with crowdfunding, which is a problem they often face. For example, you know, they want to make it big, but they don't have the funding for it. So we share with them crowdfunding resources, you know, skills that would help them make their project more efficient, bigger and better.
Mm. Do you actually get buy-in and support from, you know, say parents, teachers? Because for a lot of people, they might think, why should students be doing this when they already have tuition and exam and, you know, these things that are usually considered, quote-unquote, more important?
Correct. Well, I think, to be honest, more and more parents now are more aware of the importance of, you know, raising kids who are not just academically inclined, but also kids who would thrive when they, you know, just beyond their jobs, you know, beyond getting that big career, beyond getting that big car. They want individuals who are happy, who are content, who are giving back to the community. So, of course, there's a challenge with you know, proving that this is important to parents who are not aware yet. But at the same time, you know, we find that students who have developed their character through, say, you know, design thinking programs such as ours, also have an increase, you know, also improve in their academic performance as well, because now they're more confident, they're more aware about, you know, why their parents are doing what they're doing, why their parents are sending them to tuition. Mm. So then, you know, that somehow has an effect on their grades, and that's something that we have seen, you know, especially with confidence. I think once that switch just goes off in the student's mind, whether it's through design thinking, whether it's through the exposure that they get when they work in these communities, you know, it just shows them that, hey, you know, there's a connection between what I'm learning, the math, the science classes that I'm going for, and why I need it for when I graduate. Mm. So then that results in a better academic performance as well.
So what are some other examples of projects that the students have worked on that specifically highlight the notion of empathy?
Of course, we have one student, Noor Aisha, who's also been selected by DSC Global to be on the Global Student Council. So there's only 14 students around the world who have been elected to this council, student council, to represent DSC. So Noor Aisha she joined DSC, and one of the issues that she immediately wanted to solve with her team members was the issue of bullying. This is because she herself has faced this bullying issue. You know, her being half African, she raised this issue with her team members. You know, here's what we feel. You know, here's probably what other people who face the bullying issue feel as well. So let's solve this issue. So from that on, she has gone on to different schools to raise the issue of bullying, to show them that, hey, we're not just people with weaknesses who you want to pick on. You know, we have feelings. This is what we feel. So then empathy, again, it goes back to awareness, right? So I guess it's just increasing that awareness among others to see how other people feel, so that then makes them think twice before they bully another person. Mm. So that's, I would say, one of the many projects that shows how empathy is very much key into the social impact projects that these students come up with.
That was Ira Natasha, Impact Manager for Design for Change Malaysia, a local organization that works with local government schools to do workshops and programs on teaching empathy to school children. So what do you think, Suan, this idea of teaching empathy as part of school? Is that something that you wish you had when you were back in school?
I think it's quite interesting, right? But I think also because when I heard the words teaching empathy, to me, in my mind, the first thing that comes to mind is teach in the very traditional sense, where you are in a classroom setting where the teacher explains something to you and you learn from that. But empathy is totally different from your history or your English or your maths, right? You can't just learn from a textbook.
Right.
It's from your interactions with your friends. It's your interactions with your teachers, with your family. It's watching how your parents interact with other people. So I think it is important that it should be in the curriculum, and it's important for people to understand that incorporating it into the curriculum means you're guiding your students about it and not necessarily just teaching them directly, in that traditional sense.
Yeah, it's clearly not something that should be a graded subject or something that you have to take exams for, because that's not how it works. Like you said, it's something that requires interaction, it requires discussion.
And it's something that you learn more with experience as well.
I like this idea with the Danish schools, for instance, of having it as a once-a-week lesson. Mm-hmm. I mean, the work that Design for Change is doing is great, but I still feel that more could be done because in this kind of is a project or something like a workshop, where else having a regular sort of weekly class where you have talks and discussions and where it can be a more normalized thing within the school system, I think could be something quite special.
Yeah, and I think that as well gives students in the classroom time to bond with their classmates, to understand more about them, and not necessarily just in your usual classroom way or when you're playing during recess, but sort of having almost adult-like conversations and just getting to know them better. And perhaps that way, right, you're fostering better communication between students and teachers as well, so that there's fewer misunderstandings that happen.
Yeah, I'm sure that all of us, even adults, could learn to be more empathetic.
Definitely.
So that is all that we have for that story today. But here on BFM, we are celebrating the International Day of Education all day. So we will be taking a quick break. And when we're back, we have another story related to education for you. But first, here's Hooked on a Feeling by Blue Suede. right?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.